the beginning first year Greek class. This is the sixth class in the second semester of first year Greek. It's on February 21st, 1985, lessons 31 to 32 and a half, pages 101 to 109, paragraphs 248 to 265. And it's in Davis's Beginner's Grammar of the Greek New Testament. The sponsor, the Bible for today, the class is under the auspices of the Baptist Bible Seminary. Teacher, Dr. D.A. Waite, Director, Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey.
All right, let's begin, man, shall we, with a word of prayer. We started a little bit late, but we'll make it up, Lord willing. Thank you, Lord, for thy word. Thank you for thy grace and for thy Son, thy salvation and redemption, that thou art a God of infinite power and might and majesty. We pray for Phil, and may he be able to make it. If he's on his way, give him safe journey. Take care of his poor health, Lord, his bad health, and may be able to be used of thee and recover himself. Take care of each one of our men and their families. Be with them and guide them and help them now in this class period. Thank you for this language and for the ability of our minds to think. Give us wisdom, Lord, how to use thy word aright, that we may be bold and preach thy word without fear or favor and understand it completely for ourselves, that we may be obedient servants and then seek to make disciples that thou wouldst be pleased with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Do you have any questions on tonight's assignment before we take a look at it, a review, brief review? We're taking 31 and half of 32. Is that right tonight? Lesson 31. Okay. The first thing is our vocabulary. And this would be the second aorist active participle of apophnesko. We're working on participles tonight, aren't we? Apophnesko, second aorist, which means to die. Which means probably you might say having died, which would be what?
Apophanon.
Apophanon, all right. And second aorist active participle of balo.
Balon.
All right, then that's one lambda, isn't it? Balon, accented like that instead of with a circumflex and two lambdas. All right, the second aorist middle of genomai is what?
Genomenos.
All right, the genomenos, a deponent verb apparently, therefore you got the genomenos. And the lego, at least the aorist, second aorist active participle that we use for lego, I say, having said, is
apon.
All right, second aorist active we use for erchomai.
Elthon,
to come or to go. All right, second aorist active of horao, we use the verb to see, horao, second aorist participle.
Edon,
all right. And then finally, lambano, second aorist active of lambano.
Labon.
All right, any questions on those? And let's look at the other vocabulary while we're on vocabulary. It's page 106. And that's starting with the age. Space of time of the world is what? The age of the world? Ion and Ionos. All right, give the genitive form. Did we ask for genitive in this or not? I'm not sure. What's our practice in time past?
Well, we haven't.
Okay, all right.
I don't know.
We haven't been asking, or we didn't have it on the test, in the final exam. Nothing. We haven't had an Ionos. All right, let's go with that then. Ion, all right. The vineyard is what?
Ampelon.
Ampelon, Ampelonos, all right, and of course he's a third declension, aren't they? The leader or the governor?
Hegemon.
Hegemon, Hegemonos. Hegemon, Hegemonos. The whip, the scourge of the plague?
Mastix.
Mastikos. Mastix. Mastix, I guess it would be te mastix. All right. Taste, rather. Taste wouldn't be the gender of taste. Pa, the shepherd is what?
Pa.
Poimen. Poimenos. Poimenos. The flesh is what?
Sars.
A sars. And taste, sars. The trumpet?
A
salpinx. And taste, salpingos. Salpingos. The savior?
Pa. Sword.
Soter. Soter. And the two soteros. Soteros. That's right. The hand?
A
hair.
and Tais Heros. Heros. Any questions on those?
Yeah, they were.
All right, then we had Labon all the way through, masculine singular, starting with that. That's the aorist participle active, second aorist of Lambano. Let's go over the masculine singular. Labon, Labontas, Labontas, Labonti, 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 Labonta. Plural. Labontes, Labonton, Labonton, Labusi, 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 Labontas. All right, the feminine participle. Labusa, Labuses, Labuses, Labuse, 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 Labusan. Labusan, all right. And then the plural there is Phil. He got to a form finally. Has to be the snow. The plural. Labusai, Labuson, Labuson, Labusais, 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 Labusas. And then the neuter. Labon, Labontas, Labontas, Labonti, 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 Labon. And the plural, Labonta, Labonton, Labonton, Labusi, 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 Labonta. All right. And then we went over to the next section, page 106, and we took just the sarks, did we not? Rather than mastics. All right, let's try the sarks. Sarks, sarkos, sarkos, sarki, 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 sarka. And sarkes. Sarkon, Sarkon, Sarksi, 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 Sarkas. All right, that's the flesh. And then we just took Ion and Poimen, didn't we? The left and the right. All right, try Ion. Ion, Ionos, Ionos, Ioni, 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 Iona. Ionas, Ionon, Ionon, Iosi, 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 Ionas. And then the Poimen.
I interrupt you.
Okay. Okay, let's try Poimen and the shepherd. Poimen, Poimenos, Poimenos, Poimeni, 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 Poimena, plural. Poimenes, Poimenon, Poimenon, Poimesi, 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 Poimenas. All right, and then the Savior. All right, that's the final one, starting with a singular. Soter, Soteros, Soteros, Soteri, 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 Sotera, plural. Soteres, soterum, soterum, soterci, 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 soteras. Any questions on those? All right, let's take the vocabulary. Let me give you these others first, so then you'll have them ready. Labon, labusa labon. Take that one first of all. You know, I'll give you these second aorist active participle of lambano. See, labon, labusa labon, masculine, feminine, neuter.
Okay, so what do we get?
That's the second aorist active participle of lambano. Labon, labusa, labon. Each masculine feminine neuter on that. That's the first one you put down. I'll get these before the vocabulary, if you don't mind. And the next is sarks, which would be hay sarks. Hay sarks, the flesh. And then
sarks.
That'd be ha ion. Ha ion. And then ha poimen. Ha poimen. The shepherd.
Okay.
The shepherd, all right, down there. Just the.
I guess you got to put the articles.
Articles, yeah, put the articles if you would. Ha poimen, ha ions.
Wait. You got ha.
Ha ion. And then ha poimen. Of course, you start with hay sarks. You got hay sarks to start with. And ha ion and ha poimen. And then ha soter, ha soter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that should give us the declensions. You have those all? Any questions on those?
Let's see, we got an article on.
No participle article, it's labon. No particle. Mm-hmm. Just the article on hay sarks. Start with hay sarks for the article.
Oh, yeah.
And ha ion and ha poimen and ha soter. So that gives you four of the declensions of the nouns, right? Plus your labon, labusa, labon. All right, any questions on that? All right, if not, let's go into the vocabulary then. Number one, for page 101, lesson 31. Second aorist active participle lambano. Second aorist active lambano.
Oh, that's
To receive.
Okay.
Right?
To receive.
Or just what are we going to put down here? Just put lambano, second aorist active?
Well, the English, I guess.
The English. The English trying to get the English.
More than trying to spell the
All right, I receive it. All right, I receive. All right, number two. Okay, second aorist active of apophthegmatism, which is I die. Third is second aorist active that we use for horao, to see. I see. And fourth, second aorist active of balo, I throw. Number five, second aorist active that we use for erkamai, I go or I come. And six, second aorist middle participle of ginamai, I become, or sometimes I am, I become. And seven, second aorist participle we use for lego, which is I say. I got those seven? Any questions on? All right, then let's move on to the next vocabulary. The first one on that one is the hand. Second one, don't forget your articles here, the age or the world. Number three, the Savior. Number four, the vineyard. Number five, the trumpet. Number six, the leader or governor. Number seven, the flesh. And number eight, the whip, scourge, or plague. Any questions on those eight?
Yeah, what was the one before the whip?
The seven would be the flesh. Well, I got one more after eight. It's nine, is the shepherd. And number eight, the whip, the scourge, or the plague. Any other questions on that? I've hastened a little bit. Got those? Okay, go to it. Let me know when you finish. I'll be in the other room there. All right, very well. Let's see if Phil's not here tonight. Interesting developments have developed since we last met with you. This pastor called and said that the member of Los Angeles Baptist College, his wife and so before the church, all forgiveness. And so then he proceeded, instead of staying out of the ministry, to go get another church, GRB Church, in Canyon Country, California, Santa Clarita Baptist Church. And he's done it again. He's met adultery with some other woman out there. And I got word from one of my friends this Saturday, and I want to check it out. I'm putting it in this month's Bible for the News Report, because I've been on this for the Council of 18 to get them straightened out on that if I could, or at least I'm going to protest it for months, you know, on this whole issue of morality, whether it's on homosexuals like Bundy or whether it's like adulterers like Sewell and Stone King, to get them out of the leadership of the GRPC. And yet that man, when he went out to take the pastorate, is only about, I say only because his other church was larger, about 280 attending. That's what I called the assistant pastor for youth, Pfister, on Saturday, this last Saturday, the 16th, and I called the assistant pastor, Peter Mothershead, what a name, on Sunday. And both of them, they wouldn't say the details. They're closed mouth on that. That's not important. But it's true. They confirmed adultery. He called the Mothershead and Pfister and the head of the deacons and Duncan, John Duncan, Dr. Duncan, who was the president or former president of Los Angeles Baptist College. He was on the board of that college. You can imagine the college having an adulterer on the board. You know, they don't care, apparently, out there. So he called these four together and told them about his adultery and resigned on the 4th, which is Monday, the 4th of February. And that was read by the clerk on the 6th, which was Wednesday night. Then I guess on Sunday, the 10th, he prayed before the church. I suppose he had one of these knockdown, drag out, oh, I'm sorry, all that sort of stuff. That doesn't amount to a hill of beans as far as forgiveness is one thing. If you go and sin no more, that's great. But you don't go back into the ministry. Now, how many more churches do we go back into? And how many more adulteries, see? Filthy, rotten situation as far as I'm concerned. And the great responsibility I maintain is on the other GRB pastors that know Don Sewell and didn't urge him to never get back into the ministry. You're through. You're finished. You're done. See, softy. Soft on adultery. That's what it is. And my wife and my secretary, Ruth, and I think with great wonder if there's a union of preachers to cover up adulterers and to cover their own men. So in case they get into trouble, then they got some friends to fall back on. See, and they're not so sure they're not going to end up in adultery. See, so they got to be a little soft, not take such a hard position. See, on the position, on the staying out of the pastor. But that's a sad thing.
Yeah, that's ridiculous that it happened, but so he's being counseled now, and he's still with his wife and all this business, and he'll have the same bleeding heart pastors of our fellowship, you know, saying, oh, dear Don, he's a nice man, he's falling in, so on and so on, just instead of being angry, what to do, they're angry with me because I'm exposing it. And yet the scripture says in 1 Timothy 5:17-22, the elders of sin reprove and expose before all that others may fear. See, and do nothing by partiality, don't say whether they're this type of man, you don't expose him, but you get exposed. And so I guess I may have told you, maybe I didn't. We were going to have a Dean Burgon Society meeting in Michigan this year. We usually have our executive committee meeting here in Philadelphia. We're going to have it out there because some of our men are out there. And so they wondered, should we have it in GIB Church out there where Dr. Fuller is a member and the former pastor is the Grandview Park Baptist Church. Not Grandview Park, Wealthy Park Baptist Church. Used to be Wealthy Street Baptist Church. And originally it was set up. And I got a letter from this pastor, Bob Gage, who used to be down here at Hackensack preaching in one of our GAB churches, First Baptist Hackensack. He said, well, we were going to have a schedule, but since you've been talking and talking about our leaders in the GAB, you know, who committed adultery and so on in your Bible for News Report, we just don't feel this year we should have them meet here. See, maybe another year and so on. He said, we don't think that's the way to do it. We shouldn't have this. And I know one of these men that you're talking, writing about, meaning Don Sewell, and the Lord has he's been restored. He's asked forgiveness of his church, and the Lord has given him full restoration of service, and he has a place of service now and so on. He just didn't feel that was right in me.
Right.
Now, I haven't answered that letter until I found this information. Now I'm going to reply. I'm just so glad I didn't answer that man's letter to reply to it until now the man has fallen again. And here this fellow is standing up for that monster. I call him a monster. Anybody goes into the chicken coop and is a fox after the chickens is a monster. I don't care what you call him. And that's what it is. You don't put a fox out to take care of the chickens. You just don't do that. See? You don't have an adultery with young men and young women to counsel and married women and people in trouble and so on as pastor. You just don't do that if you're in your right mind. And these people knew full well of his former adultery. I asked that question. I said, did you know this before he called? Oh, yes, we knew the whole story. The whole church knew it. They came in now. Just heard them right, isn't it? They got exactly what they ordered. What you see is what you get. No, I have no... If he wants to be a layman or somebody else other than the man of God in the pulpit preaching and committed adultery, that's bad enough. That's vicious enough. That's filthy enough. It's rotten enough. But there's nothing more rotten than a preacher. Not only a preacher that has never done it, but the once, but gets back in it does it another time, and how many more times has he done it before then that he never got caught in, and how many more would he do it since now? See, that's my question. Too bad. So anyway, we'll see what that comes out. I think I'll have to write another letter to the Council of 18, now that it doesn't any good. But just to lay the thing out. See, this man who's committed a second adultery was accepted with open arms in California, just to show you the politics, the dirty, filthy, rotten politics. This is on tape too, by the way. I hope the people in Greek class like it if they get it. But the politics of the regular Baptist or any church group. See, you talk about politics. I don't care what it is. There's politics involved. But here he was on the LABC advisory board or whatever. I forget the title. I've got it in my news report this month. Whatever it is, I said it right. Number two, he was the chairman of the Southern California Council of Regular Baptist Church. The chairman of the Los Angeles area. And then he was on the council of 20 or 18 or whatever, the whole state of California for the regular Baptists. Guy come out of open adultery, everybody knows about it, and here they exalt him back up here like this, the place of leadership. And that's what I've got a beef about with the Council of 18 of the GRB headquarters, that these men should make recommendation to every state fellowship of our GRBC, if that's what they want to do, not to receive adulterers. It's their leaders. It's bad enough that I also recommend they not even receive them as pastors of their churches, see. We used to, in the regular Baptist, when Dr. Ketchum was around, put the men that fell into sin in the Baptist bulletin so that everyone else could hear about it. Right there in a big black box. I wrote them and asked them about that and why they didn't do that anymore in one of my letters to the Council of 18. And Dr. Mark Jackson, who was then the chairman of the council, he's the president of Baptist Bible College in Clark Summit, he wrote back and first said he didn't know of any practice. He wrote a second letter back and he said, yes, they did used to do that, but now they're afraid of lawsuits. And that's why they didn't
didn't do that anymore. But that's what they used to do, warn them so they wouldn't be a pastor. And it's certainly not leadership in the state, and not two leaderships, Southern and the chairman of the thing, the head man. Here he is. Of course, he's resigned now of all that, but how many more times? Boy, just... That was a year ago that I got this sermon worked up, and I was going to preach in the chapel, you know, so on and so forth, and I preached that other church, and I did preach it. I got it on tape. I got the outline all set. In fact, this time I've offered that outline, and I've offered the tape, and I've offered the whole thing, because it's just repeating again, another year, just 1 year ago, roughly, in February, or here is another thing. So, anyway. All right, so that's that. Let's go ahead a little Greek, and then we'll get into the King James men in the back here if we have time permitting. All right, let's take a look for next week. If you have any comments or questions on that other, go ahead, I'll give you a chance. All right. We don't want to be one-sided only. Okay, let's go ahead to the next week's assignment, which would be 32 and a half and 33, which would be the exercise. Let's go over the high spots of the assignment. Exercise on page 109 would be 266. Of course, the exercise in the next one, too. To take all of 33, to take 267, a very short vocabulary, five words, I believe. And then we'll take 268, pater and aner, and we'll take both of those. And then we'll take 271, which is hos he ha, relative pronoun. And that takes care of it for the overall picture. If you have any questions, of course, the exercise 275 would be the exercise. So two exercises next time, one little tiny vocabulary, and two nouns, and hos he ha, which is a relative pronoun. Any questions on the assignment before we get into it? All right, if not, let's take a look at the vocabulary there on page 110. This is still the third declension, the liquid stems, ER syncopated. Syncope. Gopto, to cut, syn with, to cut off with something. So syncopated, they're shortened up stems. For instance, on air, ha on air is the man, and andros, andri. You see, you don't have aneri, aneros, but you have andros. Instead of aneros, the andros. You sort of sneak in an extra syllable somehow there. Aner, andros, pater, patros, patre, patri, and so on. Alright, so the man is what? Now, this is different from anthropos, but this is another word for man. What do we have?
Aner.
Aner and two andros. Andros. This is the male. Andros can be male, many times is, but many times it may be mankind or man in general, the generic term, anthropos. But here, andros and aner, that's definitely a male of the species as opposed to the female. That's the argument of this lesbian, Virginia Mellencott, in her book and different other writings, where she thinks that Jesus Christ is androgynous, aner gune, androgynous, aner gune, man and male and female. So you have, she says that never is aner spoken of Christ. He's just anthropos. Therefore, he's an it. And you know, he got a little female in him, a little male in him. See, this is where these lesbians.
Who's that?
This is Virginia Mellencott. She's written Women, Men, and the Bible. She used to. Yes, you graduated of Bob Jones University. And got into trouble down there. Dr. Bob Jones Jr. said, I got a letter to that effect, and as far as lesbian activity, and that sort of activity, fooling around with the girls and so on. Then, of course, she was up at Shelton College as English teacher. That's where I first met her. And she had a husband at that time. She's since divorced him. But she was running around with a couple of girls there, lesbian activity. That's why Dr. Arthur Steele, fired her, and he said, I'm not going to have this. When McIntyre offered him the presidency of the school, he was acting president, when I was visiting Professor Greek in speech, or maybe just speech, I guess it was at that time, he said, I won't take the presidency unless you fire this woman, because he knew she was a lesbian. And so McIntyre fired her, and she went up to Patterson State College. She's a PhD in English. She's a sharp cracker, very sharp lady. And then so she went from there to Patterson. That's where she is now. She's written Women, Men, and the Bible. She's written
co-writing with the homosexual, my neighbor, Letha Scanzoni, and Virginia Malincott.
I wonder, can these people be saved?
I don't know about it. I just don't think there's a salvation. I tell you, the women and men in the Bible, she's now in Episcopalian Church. She grew up in the Brethren, Plymouth Brethren. She went to Bible College, those are credentials. Shelton College, which is a McIntosh school, which is the fundamentalist aura, whether she's an infiltrator, and I wouldn't doubt but what that's what she was right all along. She had to pollute. She was telling the kids at Shelton College in Springwood, New Jersey, who was up there, it's all right to lie. She was teaching Tom Sawyer and saying, that's all right, you lie under certain circumstances. I mean, situation ethics. Kids were telling me, I was up teaching the speech courses. I just went there one day a week. I was pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Newton, Massachusetts, near Boston. McNair flew me over once a week to get make use of the PhD for accreditation up there, and that's why he did it. And so the kids would tell me about that. I thought that was a little strange. But anyway, androgynous, unerring. And so I answered that woman and her women, men in the Bible. I have that in one of our materials. And I point out several places where the Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as unerring and male. And I look right down the Greek lexicon. You go right down the line and see where it is and answer the thing. The woman's wrong. And in that book, speaking of what she saved, her theology in that book, as far as God and as far as the deity of Christ, as far as a lot of these doctrines that she mentions in women and men in the Bible, I think she's lost, hellbound sinner. I don't think she's saved at all. And of course, she's in the apostate-controlled Episcopal Church and writing all this stuff. And she's a homosexual. I'm sure if she weren't, she would have told my wife when she had the interview. I told you about my wife's interview with her. I got that right on tape. That's a very impertinent question. She's a very rude question. She wouldn't ask people that. I said, well, that's what people have been wondering. That's what I'm asking. She asked her. And, well, if I say, yes, I am a homosexual, that would offend all the straight people that I have as friends. If I said, I'm not a homosexual, that would affect all and influence all the homosexuals that I'm dealing with and trying to help
now,
be friends.
If you weren't a homosexual, would you answer that way?
No, you wouldn't. Absolutely not. You would have horror all over your face. Right. You would be shocked to death out of your boots. So we know exactly what she is. Mm. And so, dear wife, she knew that was her main assignment, why I sent her. $350, $400, you know.
Yeah.
She decided to accept. In other words, she went to this women's meeting and she was a reporter for the Bible for the day. And she had they were lecturing and all this stuff on how to be women's lib and everything else. But she knew that among all the notes that she would take for that other stuff, she knew she would have to interview that woman and ask her the $64. And her husband is senator is there. And she was there with fear and trepidation, but she did it. And she did a very good job of it, I might say. She's a little woman, of course. This Malincott is a huge, big, just like a football player, you know, big, just like a Butch Bull Dyke, you know. She is a horrible monster, but smart. And my wife even said that you should do something if you really want other people not to get the idea that you're a masculine, you should change your hair. What? Yes, you look like a man, she said. You ought to have your hair curly. Well, I didn't pretend with that. You know, she was sort of taking offense. Well, why is she still rude? You should listen to the tape, though. I mean, that is education itself. anyway. anyhow, the androgynous. No, the Lord Jesus is male, and he certainly is everybody. But on-air is the male, and anthropos is the generic term for man or mankind. All right, daughter is what? The daughter. Hey, Thugater, and Tes, Thugatros. Ter, Tros. You see, you normally have Ter, Teros, right? But Ter, Tros, you eliminate the Ada. You see what I mean? Just like on air, you expect on eros, but you eliminate the Ada. Of course, you put in the Delta, I realize, but Thugater, Thugatros. See, you just eliminate, so that's what you call syncopation. Syncopation eliminates a beat. It takes a half a beat off of the measure. Ta 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 ta. See, that's syncopation. Now, a little bit of syncopation we don't object to, but of course you get the rock. That's a continuous rock beat, which is what we object to in this rock music. But even our own hymns have some syncopation, dotted eighths or whatever you call it. But that's what this is. It's syncopto, cutting off with other things. All right, I don't know what the next. Let's go to the mother. The mother over there is what?
Mater.
Hey, mater. Hey, mater. Hey, mater. All right. Hey, mater. And tes metros. Instead of meteros, it's metros. You cut off the eight again. That's the syncopation. And then the father's what?
Pater.
Or pater and to patros. So memory hints for on air course is androgyny. I guess you might think that on air course androgynous, but I don't know what other words for that. I'm sure there would be, of course, anthropos, we know that, but. Well, an android. There you go. That's it. Androids. Andros. All right, it takes the genitive, see, because that's really the root. And is the root. Anthro. Isn't that right? Android, yes. Android, that's right. Oidos is similar, from Edo, similar like image, icon, and the sea, and Aner is like a man. It's one that's almost like a man, but he's a robot, see, an android. You got to be up in your science fiction, huh?
Right.
Daughter, I don't know about Stugiter. I don't know any memory on that. But of course, Mater, you got Mater, matriarchal society, and Pater, patriarchs, and so on. You got that simple for that. All right, then, who, which, that, or what? The relative pronoun as well.
Hos,
he, and ha. Hos, he, and ha. Masculine, feminine, neuter. What is a relative pronoun? Do you have any relatives that are pronouns? And why do they call it relative?
It's not specific.
All right, that's right. That's one possibility. Yes, that's good. What is it in English? A relative pronoun.
Who? Which?
All right. How do you use it? And why is it called that? Give me a sentence that has a relative pronoun in English.
He who was driving went to the store.
All right. He who was driving went to the store. That's good. The man who was driving, or he who was driving went to the store. Now you see the who relates
to the man.
One to the other.
Right.
He who was driving. So it's related. So that's why it's relative. It relates the one part to another. You can say the man in the chair who was asleep was my brother. See, the man in the chair who was asleep. See, who was asleep is the relating clause, a relative clause that relates to the man. It's the man who was asleep. Just like we'd say the little man. See, it's an adjectival clause. It's
right.
Used as an adjective.
It's used as an adverb.
Yeah. And sometimes it's used as an adverb, you know, different things. So this is what the relative is, and who, which, that, or what. And the masculine goes with the masculine noun. It's the father, who, and that would be hos. And it's the mother, he, who, the mother, and then the neuter, they, the gift, todoron, which did so-and-so with something else. So this is where you have the masculine, feminine, neuter, hos, he, and on. Any questions on the vocabulary? Well, let's take a look at these declensions then of pater and aner, father and man or male, of course with the article ha pater. Let's go to the singular. Pater, patros, patros, patri. You see where we are? All right, let's try it again there. 268, paragraph 268. Pater, patros, patros, patri, 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 patera, pater. All right, plural. Pateres, pateron, pateron, patrasi, 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 pateras. What's that patrasi? That's a little different twist, isn't it? All right, that's your masculine noun, ha pater, ha pater. Now let's go to the masculine noun, ha aner, ha aner, right? Aner, andros, andros, andri, 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 andra, aner. Then plural, andres. Andron, Andron, Andrasi, 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 Andra, Andras, or Andras. See, so that Patrasi and Andrasi is a little bit different, isn't it? All right, any questions on
There's no plural vocative.
No, apparently not. What you usually have is the same as the nominative. Yeah, nominative vocative, yeah, Andres, Andres. They're usually the same, so they don't list it as such, but you can think of it as that. But they're getting lazy in their old age and getting the back of the book. In the earlier portions, I believe you'll note that they did put the vocative as a separate on page 33, for example. When we came into Ha Uranos, they had Urane and uranoi in the plural. So you have the vocative written right in there, but they're getting a little bit sloppy and trying to save print and a few lines, a few pages in the back. All right, let's go then. Notice 269, the observation is background. Number two is background also with the accent, pater, so on. And three also is the background. And four, the vocative singular, has recessive accent. It's all accentuation. So on. Any questions on those observations for form? All right, notice 270. Now, in times past, we've required this also. Mater, mother, and thugater, they're declined like pater. So if they're declined the same, we're just going to hit the one and assume you know the other. By the same token, if you can get the one, you get the other two simply, so there'll be nothing new. But we'll just go ahead with the pater. But they're the same endings. Mater, metros, metros, metri, 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 metera, metera, and so on. Same thing. The vocative thugater is thugater. No vocative of mater occurs. So there's a few exceptions, but basically it's the same. Any questions on 270? All right, let's go to 271, the declension of the relative pronoun hos, he, and ha. Masculine, let's go through the masculine, the singular. Hos, who is a rough reading now. Ho, Santa Claus, hon. Okay, now the plural. Hoi, hon, hon, hois, hus. Now let's go to the feminine then. Hey, haste, hey, hane. That's the horses. And then the plural. Hi, that's the friendly gesture. Hon, hon. Ah, see, that's a misprint. You have hides. Hides. Do you have hides with a zeta?
It looks like somebody crossed it out and tried to fix it.
Yeah, it looks like a smudge.
Let me see what you got in your book.
Somebody tried to fix it by hand, isn't that one?
Oh, yes.
That's not
for really me. It sure is. See, look at mine. See, yeah. I got them dead to rights. In my issue, they hadn't done it yet. See, it's the zeta. See, it's a jit, Larry?
So, it's supposed to be a...
It's a zeta. It's actually zeta? A zeta. No, it's supposed to be a sigma. See, they try to put a sigma. It's like heist. It just be like the same this next form, okay, heist,
but
heist.
It was a zeta.
It was a zeta. Yeah, the original
you can
print.
See
print
too, if you look at it.
Yeah, what was your date of printing?
Mine's
1923.
Right.
See.
1923.
But well,
that's what it has on it.
You mean it doesn't have any other date than that, huh?
No, it's just a copyright date.
Well, isn't that something? Mine has copyright date there, too.
Fifth edition, 1942.
Oh, you got that in there? Right, fifth
yeah.
edition?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe you have some changes that I don't have then. Yeah, see, I got mine in 1947.
Various corrections and a few additions have been incorporated.
Oh, I see.
So
fifth edition.
Large edition is planned to
oh, appear. I've got my 1942 also. I got this fifth edition. So we have all of us a fifth edition, and they've never revised it beyond the fifth edition. 42.
For that smudge.
Yeah, that smudge. You're right. In that in other printings, they put that smudge out of commission. Heist, 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 and then has. All right, let's try the neuter then.
Okay.
Ha, who, ho, ha. Plural. Ha, hon, hon, hoist, ha. All right, any questions on that? Observations are under there. Accents, you know. All right, let's take a look at how we use the relative pronoun. Your exercises will fit you in good stead for these. They generally agrees with its antecedent in gender and number. It may have its own case in its clause, or it may be attracted to the case of the antecedent. Now, that's the thing. Because if it's its own clause as a subject, he is the man who went to dinner, see? He is the man who. Well, who in that clause would be subject or object? What is who in that relative clause? Subject or object? He is the man who went to dinner. Is who subject or object?
Subject.
See, that's the case, who. But you see, some, it might have attraction if you say, he shot the man whom he loved or whom he hated, see? If you say man is an accusative, the man whom shot the man, shot who, that'd be accusative, whom, see? Or, for instance, he shot him, which is accusative in English, subjective case, whom he loved. See, him whom he loved. Now, see, that's attraction if we'd say that. If in English would have attraction, it would be attracted whom to the him whom, both an accusative.
But if it's not attraction, it'd be him who he loved. See, who he loved. He loved, but on the other hand, he loved whom is the direct object of love. So you see, there you may have the whom. You could say who went with him, if you want to say that. That would be a neater, cleaner thing. He shot the man who went with him. See, who went? Who is the subject? But if you say the man whom he loved, then there you see, it would be whom, because he loved whom would be the direct object of love. So that would be all right. But if you say he shot the man who he went with, instead of whom he went with, he shot him whom he went with, that would be an example. This is attraction. So we look at the examples here in Greek in page 112. The man was believing the word that Jesus spoke to him. Ho anthropos, episteuon rather, ho anthropos, to logo, hon epen auto, ho Jesus. Right? The man was believing, episteuon, the word, in the word, hon. Now you see, that's, the word is logos, and so hon is the masculine. He's in the gender, and in reason number. One man, anthropos, hon, whom. But the case is different. Anthropos is nominative and hon is accusative.
Mm-hmm.
Because whom, the word which Jesus spoke, see, he spoke what? He had to be the accusative in its own clause. Aphan, after Aphan, see, he said, or he spoke which, the word which he spoke. So that's why it's in the accusative. But notice the next one, the words which I spoke to you are spirit and are life, ta remata, ha ego epone humin pneuma estin kai zoe estin. The words, ta remata, ha ego. Now the words which here you got the same case, same number, and the same gender, ta remata ha is accusative, the neuter, isn't it? Ta remata ha. But you don't know whether that's a nominative or an accusative because of the same form, right? Ha is ha. And then the next one, you are abiding in him who is the Savior of the world. Menete en auto hos estin ha soter tu kosmu. You are abiding or staying in auto in him hos. So there's the masculine. It's a singular, so the gender and number in him. But here it is a different case. En auto, which is a locative instrumental dative, probably a locative here. And the hos is not locative, is it? What is it? What's hos? What case?
Accusative.
Accusative? Accusative
would
be hon.
Or not hon. Accusative, I'm sorry.
Not genitive,
rather,
but
hon.
You're thinking
third
declension. Oh,
I'm thinking of third
declension. Yeah, this is regular second declension. See, this would be nominative, hos. Hos, state, hon.
Okay.
So until we get our bearings, we won't know, but see, that's a different case.
Okay, so until you get some syntactical type of references how to handle this, you've got to go...
Go easy and slowly.
Okay.
So, but see, sometimes it's in one case, hos, sometimes it's in ha, and sometimes it's in hon up there, see? Notice paragraph 273, usually the attraction of the relative to the case of the antecedent is from the accusative, in which it naturally would be in its own clause, to some other oblique case. So, for instance, remember the word that I said to you. Mnemoneuete tu logu hu ego epon humin. Remember, mnemoneuete tu logu is of the word, about the word, concerning the word. To remember, use the genitive state. Who, which I said to you. See. Now, normally it would be hon, ton logon hon, see which. I said, because after apon, you'd have the accusative. But by attraction, it pulls it into the genitive, which is the antecedent's case. So who has been attracted to the case of logo, its own clause, it would next to be in the accusative, which would be hon, after apon. Any questions on that attraction?
That's going to be a little... I haven't checked it. That's going to be a little tricky from tying in with some of those subjunctives, the way our participles in. Translating.
The one who
going from
the one who
English to Greek.
Yeah,
what we know.
That's true. We have to go on what we know and do the best we can. See, and you don't have to attract one or the other. You just play it straight if you want to put it in its own clause. If you want to go attractive to the other, you can. But basically, keep it in the clause in which it was. If it's subject in its own clause, put it nominative. If it's accusative, put it accusative, and so on.
And if it's got one of the examples here, then you can use those and have it attracted to the case of the antecedent if you want. Notice 274. Any questions further on 273? Yeah.
For some reason, I don't get what it's saying there.
Attraction?
Yeah.
Well, what it is this, Larry, as we say, he shot him. Him is in the accusative, right? He shot him.
Mm.
Rather than pronoun in English, he shot him who went with him. He shot him who went. It's who went because who is the subject of went. Who went with him. See, he shot the man who went with him. Now, if you put attraction, you'd say he shot him whom went with him. Him whom, see? Because whom is accusative or objective case in English. And him would be the accuser. See, that's the attraction. Normally, it would be who. What we say in English, we don't have any attraction. We don't say him whom. If we say that, we'd be very wrong. We say it's him who went with him, because who must be the subject of went, and therefore it has to be in the nominative case. Who is nominative and whom is accusative?
But since we don't have cases...
Well, we do in the relative pronouns, who and whom, yeah. To a certain extent, we do have cases.
But
normally we don't have cases.
But in their cases in the Greek, well, like, what are they saying here? What's an oblique? I forget what an oblique
is. Oblique is a genitive or locative instrumental dative or accusative. See, that's the oblique cases. Anything but the nominative, non-nominative, yeah.
So it's saying usually the attraction of the relative to the case of the antecedent is from the accusative. What's that mean, from the accusative?
Well, normally would be, for instance, remember the word that I said to you. I said to you that. See, it should be apon, hon. Hon ego apon, see. I said that. See, after said, you have to have a direct object. And hon would be the normal case. So in the case of the attraction, it's naturally from the accusative, in which it would normally be its own clause, to some other oblique case. Here it's the oblique case of the genitive rabbis. Who?
So that's similar to the one that the first example was said that the antecedent, which was, I guess, the word, and then it came, that.
The man was believing the word that Jesus? Yes.
Right, that,
so that would normally be fun. That's right, because it's which he spake. Right. He spake which.
Right.
Which he spake, that's right.
So this is
that's the normal
one. There's no attraction in
There's no attraction in that one. That's the normal way it ought to be. And the second one, I guess, if you want to say that's the accusative, which I spake, ha, that would be the normal way to be.
Okay, so there's no attraction in that sentence saying, remember the word that? That doesn't attract to relate to the
Yeah, that
word?
One's got attraction.
Where are we now?
On 273.
That is attraction. Oh, yeah, that's attraction.
That's an attraction right there.
The top one is an attraction. The second one is an attraction if it's ha. If ha is the accusative.
Because you got hon. Hon is not attracted to logo.
It's not.
Logo.
Why not?
Or just because it doesn't.
Logo was in.
I know it's in a different.
Well, you wonder why it isn't attractive.
Why isn't it?
Well, I don't know. It's sometimes it isn't. It's very touchy. Why
is it?
Or why
is
think
to
some
sort of
some things that they think about us and other subjects? We don't know.
Is it to modify? To modify just what it's. What it is referring to. Make absolutely sure there can be no mistake as to what
possibly,
it's referring to.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I think
it's attracted to what Jesus spoke, since it's a focus on Jesus' word and not...
Well, I don't know the reason it would be, but there's some things that are attracted and pulled over and some things that aren't. And we don't know whether it is or isn't. It's just like the question in the Gospel of John, in the King James Version, for example, whom do men say that I am? I'll figure that one out. Whom do men say that I am?
Men do say that I am
who? But when you say that I am, you must take a who, because I am is a linking verb, and linking verbs take the
nominative
case. See, I am
whom.
I am who.
It is the case.
Whom is accusive, yes.
Yeah.
The objective
in the
case.
Greek.
Yeah, in the Greek, and it'd be objective in English.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, that I am who is a normal thing. See, I am who because I am, any part of the verb to be, linking verb, must take a nominative case in English, see, which we call the subjective case.
where you say, I am he. We did that in school today. Those kids, they thought that was the most incorrect, improper English they'd ever heard in their ears. To say, I am he, and it is I, and it is she, and so on. That's wrong, you know. We've been using it so wrong all our lives, we don't know what's right and what's wrong. See, I taught it anyway.
It's in the English that they use.
That's right. See, so it was linking verbs, and the pronouns, personal pronouns, subjective case after linking verbs. It was tough, believe me. I don't think many of them got it. They surely didn't. And we only have one day on it, and then we go on to the next topic, you know, on pronouns, used as objects. But we throw it in, and whatever we can get it. But you see, whom do men say that I am? You see, there's attraction in English. Whom do men say? Men do say whom, you know, that I am. See, that I am whom. See, men do say whom, but that I am. If you say that I am who, you see, and so on. But if it's just whom do men say, then that I am, you don't say that I am who. You leave it there. You don't go back. Then we're all right. See, just isolate the two clauses. There's no problem. But if you say that I am whom, then you got to change it to who. That's a possible attraction there in English. That's a possible attraction, the relative pronoun. See, but if you use that all the time or which, you don't have to worry about attractions.
Mm.
You know, which or that, because they don't have any whom or who. There's no case. There's no nominative or accusative, and that is always that, or which is always which. But you get into who, you have who or whom or whose. Whose is your genitive? You see, that's your of whom. Whose. So it's beautiful. That preserves those cases. All right. Any other questions on 273? Often now, 274, the relative has no antecedent expressed. For instance, not knowing what or that which he says, they go away. Me genoskotes ha lege aperkontai. All right. Me genoskotes, not knowing ha, that which he says. They go away. No antecedent expressed. It's not knowing the thing which he says, the word which he says. It's just what he says. See? That which, instead of saying not knowing the logon, the word, or the speech or the statement or something, they just don't have it at all. Same with the next one. He who receives me receives you. Hos dechetai me. Dechetai humas. Hos, he, whoever receives me, receives you. It's not the man who receives anthropos hos, see, or the person hos, but it's just hos. He, the one who, we translate he who, see. It's really who receives you, receives me. It's not he who at all, it's just who. But we like to put a he to have an antecedent for the who. He who goes on, just the same way, not knowing what he says, or that which he said, or the thing which he said. So sometimes you don't have the antecedent expressed. Any questions on that? Paragraph 274. Well, if not, that takes us up to what we need for next time. Recapitulating, you have the two exercises. You have pater, aner, hos, he, and ha, and the vocabulary, which I think, compared to tonight, was somewhat shorter, is it not? Somewhat shorter, although we have the two exercises, that would be a little lengthy. Like here.
Just one short vocabulary.
Yeah, real short vocabulary, so I think it's all right. All right, anything else on that? All right, let's switch gears just briefly. We have how many exercises tonight? One?
Yeah, one.
All right, let's just switch gears and go into the number 804. If you don't mind, I just want to get the highlights of the men behind the King James Version as far as their linguistic qualifications. If you got your book there, page 40 and following, I have an appendix 1, Linguistic Training and Our Qualifications of Some of the Translators of the King James Version 1611. I take this from the translator's Revive, the biographical memoir of the author's English version, Alexander McClure, about 1857, reprinted. And I don't know whether that's in print or not. I don't know that it is. It might be. But since it may be out of print, I've lifted some of the things that he's taken in this book of his, 250 pages, and I've just mentioned some of them. But notice Lancelot Andrews from Company 1, Westminster Group. So they divided into six companies,
two met in Westminster, two met in Cambridge, and two met in Oxford. See, so the Cambridge group, the Oxford group, and the Westminster group. This Oxford company, Prince of Lancelot Anders, he acquired most of his modern languages at Europe at the university. He gave himself to the Oriental and the tongues and divinity. Lancelot Anders' manual for his private devotion prepared by himself is wholly in the Greek language. Now, how many men do you know translating any versions today have devotional manuals in the Greek language wholly? Or even partially? Huh? You even have. I tell you, these fellows knew what they're talking about. Such was his skill in all languages, especially the Oriental, that had he been present at the confusion of tongues of Babel, he would serve as interpreter general.
I'm quoting this. See, this is the Translator's Revised, a biographical sketch by Alexander McClure, 1857, over 100 years ago. No, none of this is mine.
Well, he really felt high on this.
He certainly did. See, in his funeral sermon by Dr. Buckridge, Bishop of Manchester, said that Dr. Anders was conversant with 15 languages. See, I mean, listen. Let's face it. Who do we have walking the shores of any sea today, or any land today, see, that have this type of thing? We got too much boob tubing and television and working. Epiglottis. Some scholars have fancied that they have an advance in our times. 1815, when this book was written, over the translators of the King James day, by reason of the greater attention which is supposed to be paid at present to what they're called the cognate Semitic languages, especially the Arabic, by which much light is thought to be reflected upon Hebrew words and phrases. It's evident, however, that Mr. Bedwell and others among his fellow laborers, typographical error there, were thoroughly conversant in this part of the broad field of sacred criticism. Mr. Bedwell also commenced a Persian dictionary, which is among Archbishop Laud's manuscripts still preserved in the Bodleian Library in Oxford. Arabic, Persian. See, this is the depth of these fellows. See, they're no mean fellows at all. They can handle this thing, Old and New Testament. Now, he was with the first company, Westminster Group, that took books of Moses, historical books, through the Second Kings, 12 books. So starting with Genesis through Second Kings, 12 books they took. They all did this in 7 years, from 1604 to 1611. Now the second company, B, Cambridge Group, book of First Chronicles through the end of the Song of Solomon. Now there were 10 books there. Let's just take one of that. Let's take over on page 42, number 6, Thomas Harrison. On account of his exquisite skill in Hebrew and Greek idioms, he was one of the chief examiners in the university, that is, Trinity College, Cambridge University, of those who sought to be public professors of these languages. So they were examiners of that. It's interesting. Let's take a look at C, the company C, the Oxford Group, books of Isaiah through the end of the Old Testament, Malachi, 17 books. Notice John Reynolds. Now, he was a Puritan. He was one of the ones that asked for the King James to be translated in the first place from the King. John Reynolds, number 2. Again, fellow at an early age of 7, Greek lecture, let's see, skipping down, look at the middle of that, and read all the Greek and Latin fathers. Notice that. The Greek and Latin fathers. You know what a chore that is, to read all those fathers that wrote in Greek and all of them? There were probably 300 fathers. Of the 300, there are 200, maybe 100 anyhow, that quoted extensively the Bible, see. But extensive Greek and Latin fathers, all the ancient records of the church. The next year, Dr. Reynolds was put upon the list of the translators on account of his well-known skill in Hebrew and Greek. He was most excellent in all tongues, useful or ornamental to a divine. Nothing can tend to inspire confidence in their version and the knowledge of their immense acquirements, almost incredible to the superficial scholars of this age, of smatterers, scholiasts, and pretenders. That was back in 1857. If they had smatterers then, what do you call us today? Finger fooders or something? Now, notice on page 43, number 5, Miles Smith. He had a fourfold share in the translation. One, he had not only served the third company, but two, was one of the 12 selected to revise the work, after which it was referred to the final examination. Three, Dr. Smith and Bishop Bilson. Last of all, Dr. Smith was employed to write that most learned and eloquent preface. He went through the Greek and Latin fathers, making his annotations on them all. He was well acquainted with the rabbinical glosses and comments. So expert was he in the Chaldee, Syriac, and Arabic that they were almost as familiar as his native tongue. Hebrew, he added his finger ends. So that's Miles Smith. Notice the next one, number 6, Richard Brett. He was skilled in versatile criticism in the Greek, the Latin, the Greek, the Hebrew, Chaldee, Arabic, and Ethiopic tongues. Published a number of erudite works, all in Latin. Who publishes in Latin today? I mean, these men have really got something we don't. Notice Company D.
number four, the fourth coming, the Oxford group, four Gospels, Acts and Revelation, there's six books. Look at number two here, Henry Seville. Became famous for his Greek and mathematical learning. His 29th year, he traveled in France and elsewhere to perfect himself in literature and returned accomplished in languages and learning, knowledge of the world. He then became tutor in Greek and math to Queen Elizabeth. Translated, notice this, the histories of Cornelius Tacitus, published the same with notes. He also published from manuscripts the writings of Bradwardian against Pelagius, the writings of English history subsequent to Bede, collections of the elements of Euclid, and other learned works in English and Latin. He's chiefly known, however, by being the first to edit the complete works of John Chrysostom. How many men do you know on any of these editorial boards that have done even a percentage of this? See, these men are no mean men, as far as they're not. The edition of 1,000 copies was published in 1618 makes eight immense folios. Sir Henry Seville is one of the most profound, exact, and critical scholars of his age, and meet and right to take a prominent part in the preparation of our incomparable version. Notice number four, John Harmer, appointed the King's Professor of Greek in 1585. He stood high in the crowd of tall scholars, the literary giants of the time. He published several learned works, among them Latin translations of several of Chrysostom's writings. The master of an excellent English style and adept in the difficult art of translating. He's noted Latinist, Grecian, and divine, always a kind of the most solid theologist, admirably well-read in the fathers and schoolmen. And General's Company E in the bottom of page 43, the Westminster Company, the New Testament Epistles, 21 books altogether. Well, let's go to Company 6, or F, or number 6 there, Cambridge. We have all the books of the Apocrypha, see, 12 to 14 books. And they translated the Apocrypha. Yeah. They didn't believe it was inspired in an error. This is top of 44. Mm-hmm. See there, F. Go down to John Boyce, the fourth one there. See him, John Boyce? Oh, this will get you. He was carefully taught by his father, and at the age of 5 years, he had read the Bible. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
You get that? I always pause when I give this to people, and then I go on to the next two words. let's get the thing. This, wow. You know, you boys that have taken Hebrew, you know what we're talking about here. This doesn't come easy by any chance. By the time he was 6 years old, he not only wrote Hebrew legibly, but in a fair and elegant character. And you know how hard it is to write some of these Hebrew words. He soon distinguished himself by his great skill in Greek, writing letters in that language to the master and senior fellows. How many of these fellows write letters in Greek? We do in translating, but very little, don't we? He, that is Boyce, there in Dr. Down's chambers, who was the chief lecturer in the Greek language, read with him 12 Greek authors in verse and prose, the hardest that could be found, both for dialect and phrase. It was a common practice with a young enthusiast to go to the university library at 4 o'clock in the morning and stay without intermission till 8 in the evening. For 10 years, he was a Greek lecturer in his college, St. John's College, Cambridge. And during that time, he voluntarily lectured in his own chamber at 4 o'clock in the morning, most of the fellows being in attendance. It may be doubted whether at the present day, that is 1857, a teacher in class so zealous could be found in Old Cambridge, New Cambridge, or anywhere else, not excluding laborious Germany. His library contained one of the most complete and costly collections of Greek literature that had ever been made. In his translation of the Bible, he had a double share after the completion of the Apocrypha, the portion assigned to his company, the other Cambridge company to whom was assigned from the Chronicles to the Canticles conclusively, earnestly entreated his assistance, as he was equally distinguished for his skill in Greek and Hebrew. During the 4 years thus employed, Mr. Boyce gave close attention to the duty from Monday morning through Saturday evening, spending the Sabbaths only at his rectory with his family. When the work had been carried through the first stage, he was one of the 12 delegates sent, two from each of the companies, he said six companies, say two for each would be 12, to make the final revision of the work at Stationers Hall in London. This occupied 9 months. Mr. Boyce took notes of all the proceedings of this committee. He left at his death, notice this, as many leaves of manuscript as he had lived days in his long life. For even in his old age, he spent 8 hours in daily study, mostly reading and correcting ancient authors. Amongst his writings, there was a voluminous commentary in Latin on the Gospels and Acts, which was published some 12 years after his decease. He was in the highest esteem of studious foreigners and second to none in solid attainments in the Greek tongue. He was so familiar with the Greek Testament that he could at any time turn at any word that it contained. Turn to any word, isn't it something? But notice as many leaves as David his long life. He lived 83 years and 11 days. That's from January 3rd, 1560 to January 4th, 1643. And that's 30,306 days. That's how many pages of work. Remember, 30,000 pages of stuff. That's a lot of books, isn't it? 200 pages per book. That's 150 books, you know, or 300 pages. That's
100 books. A lot of books. Excuse me, pages. Leaves. Well, that's leaves, isn't it? Leaves is page art. Now, notice this conclusion that over here on page 46, down here, this paragraph 46, as to the capability, see it? 46? 45, I'm sorry, 45. As the capability of those men, we may say again, this is now McClure speaking, 1857, by the good providence of God, their work was undertaken in a fortunate time. Not only had the English language, that singular compound, then ripened to its full perfection, but the study of Greek and of the Oriental tongues and of rabbinical lore had then been carried to a greater extent in England than ever before. I said ever, should be ever before or since. It is confidently expected that the reader of these pages will yield to the conviction that all the colleges of Great Britain and America, even in this proud day of boasting, so that would be 1857, could not bring together the same number of divines equally qualified by learning and piety for the great undertaking. Few indeed are living names worthy to be enrolled with these mighty men. It would be impossible to convene out of any one Christian denomination, or out of all, a body of translators on whom the whole Christian community could bestow such confidence as is reposed upon that illustrious company, or who would prove themselves as deserving of such confidence. McClure. So anyhow, basically, that's a brief analysis. I thought you men might like to have that. I don't think you can get the McClure in print. If we find it, we'll advertise it and so on, but that's basically what it is. Any comments or questions on that before we move on to our exercises?
You know, let's see, I was just trying to get a, it's kind of interesting, I had made note of a conflict in the Old Testament,
and
I see the first company worked from the Book of Moses, historical book, and ended at 2 Kings, and then the second company picked up at 1 Chronicles, and if you would turn to 2 Kings, chapter 24, and verse 17.
24:17.
Right. You'll find that it says, and the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah.
Mm-hmm.
Now turn to 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, and verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and when the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord, and made Zedekiah his brother king over Judah. Unless there's two different Zedekiahs.
Mm-hmm. Zedekiah, his brother, Jehoiakim's brother.
Right, but then it goes on in the next verse. Zedekiah was 1 and 21 years old, and then in Second Chronicles. See, that's why I think it's the same Zedekiah.
Yeah.
Because if Zedekiah was 1 and 21, and you turn back to Second Kings,
his father's
Zedekiah
brother
was 21.
Yeah, his father's brother. That's what you're saying.
Right.
Now, apparently, this Josiah's son, Zedekiah was Josiah's son.
Right.
And over in Chronicles, Zedekiah, his brother, no, whose brother? Jehoiakim's brother, see, apparently. Because Josiah had Jehoiachin and Zedekiah both. And so is there a conviction? What do you say?
I just,
you mean as far as Zedekiah? Or as
well,
far
in terms of who was doing the king of...
made Mattaniah.
Made Mattaniah.
Oh, I see. And changed his name to Zedekiah.
Right.
I see. His father's brother. Well, that would be Josiah's. See,
the king of Babylon, yeah. And then if the king of Babylon is Nebuchadnezzar, which is in Second Chronicles,
right.
Made Mattaniah
his
father's brother king instead.
See,
so there's a change in king.
Right. The thing about
and changed his name.
Yeah. Now, the question is, his father's brother, see, who the his antecedent of his?
Right.
See, that's it. And I think the antecedent of his probably is Josiah.
Okay, so therefore, then there's not a conflict. It's just the fact that
it's confusing. Otherwise, you read in English, it's confusing, and Hebrew, it's confusing, because of his antecedent.
Okay, so it may not be his father. It just might be the seed of...
Yeah, I don't think it's Nebuchadnezzar's father's brother. I think it's his meaning back to...
Meaning back to somebody...
Josiah, I suppose. It's an apocryphate. It certainly sounds like it's apocryphate.
It sounds
that way.
Well, it's almost like thou art Peter and upon this rock. You know?
Yeah.
It's not really referring to Peter.
Yeah, but there's two different words.
Now, Manny, I have in my margin a note that I personally made. See, Jeremiah 1:3.
Oh, yeah. See, what I wanted to ask is, what was the note that you've got the King James 16:11. Did they make any...
Oh, I see.
Since there were two different These two guys worked separately, and then they came together.
Yeah, I have to look that up.
And they had them marry together.
I have to look that up
there
and see. It's upstairs. I don't have it right before me, the 1611. But let me take a look at Jeremiah 3:1. It's my note.
You have a note on Jeremiah?
1:3, yeah. I mean, I just put my own margin as I taught Jeremiah in my Sunday school class. I've got this coming back here, see what it is. 1:3. Came to pass also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, under the end of the deliverance of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. So Jehoiakim is the son of Josiah, 1:3, and also Zedekiah is the son of Josiah. See? So the two sons of Josiah, which ties them in, at least the father is the same one, Josiah. But it's certainly right, this 2 Kings does seem to, with his.
Difficulty in there.
Because he changed his name to Zedekiah. See, it's the same Zedekiah and so on. And he reigned 11 years. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna and so on. But it does look like his father's brother would mean the king of Babylon's father's brother. See?
Yeah.
And so it's probably shortened as the Lord put this down.
They just missed it. They just translated it improperly or something.
Well, I could check the Hebrew there, but probably not. I think they're probably pretty correct on that as far as that. I could check and see if there's any notes on that. I think there may be a note on that.
They may have made a note. I would think once the two companies got together and merged their works.
Yeah.
They must have noticed that. Maybe they didn't notice it. That's a lot of translating.
You gave me a note on this other thing, didn't you, last time?
No, this is...
Oh, it's this Steve's note. Oh, it's Steve. And then we'll go on with our exercises. But in Matthew, you said... What was your question last time?
I had two, and I don't know which one you're referring to. The one was the two genealogies, and the other one was about the Jeremiah scroll.
Yeah, the two genealogies we touched upon briefly there, but the genealogy, the Jeremiah, what reference was that? Matthew?
Matthew 27:9, I think.
27:9, okay. I have it open to 27:9. Yes, all right, here's what they say. This is the Bible Knowledge Commentary, Walford and Zuck of Dallas Seminary. They've got the New Testament edition. Their comment on it, for what it's worth, Matthew viewed these events as the fulfillment of a prophecy of Jeremiah, but the prophecy of Matthew quoted was primarily from Zechariah, not Jeremiah. There's a close resemblance between Matthew 27:9-10 and Zechariah 11:12-13, but there are also similarities between Matthew's words and ideas in Jeremiah 19:1, 4, 6, and 11. Why then did Matthew refer only to Jeremiah? The solution to this problem is probably that Matthew had both prophets in mind and only mentioned the major, quote unquote, major prophet by name. A similar situation is found in Mark 1:2-3, where Mark mentioned the prophet Isaiah, but quoted directly from both Isaiah and Malachi. In addition, another explanation is that Jeremiah in the Babylonian Talmud, Baba Batra, 14b, was placed first among the prophets, and his book represented all the other prophetic books.
Well,
That's another scroll. So basically, that's their analysis of it, and for what that's worth. I'll see, Matty, if I can put that other down somewhere, a piece of paper that I can refer to. I'll see if I can look
at the records.
I'll see at least what the King James had done.
Manny wants to continue thinking the Bible is the inerrant word of God.
Well, it is. It certainly is.
Sure.
It's just some problems.
24 and verse 17. Yeah. The other was 2 Chronicles. What was the Chronicles?
35, it's at the end of the last chapter, I believe. Let me pull it out. I have it in this Bible, which is not marked, so I got it. The 2 Chronicles 36:10, and we'll just take you back to, and then you picked up the
24:17.
Okay. Interesting if they had made a comment on it.
Okay.
Since there was two different companies working on it.
AV 1611. All right, I'll check on that. Mm-hmm. Got it written down anyhow in red on my daily schedule of things to do by month, date, year, and hour.
I don't always do what I'm supposed to do. I got on the schedule. All right, anything else on that? Well, I think we've touched pretty about all the bases we can touch. Now let's go on to our exercises and touch that base as well. And then after class, maybe we can call Chuck up. I don't want to forget that. I may forget that. If you want to read us to see and say hello anyway, you don't have to. I don't know where Phil is. That's too bad. It doesn't bode well. It certainly sounds like maybe he's really sick. All right, exchange your papers, if you would, please, and put your name graded by the bottom. This is 31, is it? Exercise 257, is that correct?
Oops. Okay.
257. All right, let's read at least the first three verses in Greek, and I'll read the rest. What do we have? Page 105.
Blepe.
Blepe.
Ton.
Ton.
Kurion.
Erchomenon.
Cross.
Cross.
Alton.
Kai.
Lege.
Alto.
Hutas.
Hutas is thin. Yeah, I almost had to catch both of us. Hutas is thin.
Iron.
Tas.
Hamartias.
To Cosmo. All right, what does that say?
He is seeing
the Lord.
Who is going.
Who is coming or going?
Who is coming towards him?
Mm-hmm. No, that's right. Coming
and
towards him.
He says
to
him.
To him.
This is the bearer.
The one who bears.
The sins of the world.
One who takes away, one who bears away the sins of the world.
Okay, takes it, yeah.
Okay, Iron. Any questions on that one?
So he is
John 1:29.
This is.
That's not an exact quote from the scriptures, but it's close, John 1:29.
Mm-hmm.
In it, behold, the Lamb of God. See? Which is, this doesn't say the Lamb of God, just the one taking away. Then. So that seems to be an allusion to that. All right, any questions on one? All right, let's read two Greek first.
Who?
That's not
one of them.
Acer Chomenon,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Stama.
Koinoi. Anthropon.
Allah.
Ta.
Exerchomenon.
Ek.
Tu.
Stamatas.
Stamatas.
Tuta.
Koinoi.
Anthropon. All right. What's that say?
Not the coming out.
Not that which is entering.
Going into
a circumcised, as opposed to ex circumcised. See, ace is into, entering into.
So it's
going into.
The
mouth defiles. It's not that which goes into the mouth, which defiles, understood?
A man.
Okay, goes into a man.
But.
Ex erchomena.
That which comes out.
From the mouth.
The mouth.
This
mouth.
Defiles.
Amen.
Okay, or the man. Any questions on two? And that which goes out of the mouth defiles the man, but that which goes out of the mouth, this defiles a man or the man. Or a person. Any questions on two? Stomach.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Go on with three then. Let's read three in Greek.
Death.
Kerusha
Death.
Legon tes.
Hate.
Aha.
Kurias.
Sodze.
Sodze.
Tutus.
Estewantas.
Estewantas.
And
Hato.
That
is always post positive, therefore it's always after the first part, but you usually start with that. But or and.
Proceeding.
Yeah, proceeding.
Ye proclaim.
He proclaim, or he preach.
Preach.
Saying
that the Lord
saves.
Believe.
Those
believing.
In him, or those who believe in him. Questions on that one?
That Legontes is saying.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that refer to?
It's as you go, preach, saying. See, that's as you go, preach.
Mm-hmm. So it refers to the Eta in Kerusha. Is that what it refers to? Because it's plural, now it says plural.
Right? Well, yeah, because Kerusha, right, it's a ye preach. So,
see, that
saying.
Confused me because you got the ye.
Participles must refer and agree in gender and number.
But not
in usually case. Well, not usually, but sometimes they do in case. But gender and number, see. So you got the number, legontes, referring to Kerusha. So you have ye plural are going, and obviously you got to be speaking plural also.
Okay.
So you see, there's more than one.
So really, let me see. But going, ye are proclaiming, saying that the Lord is at hand.
That's right.
Goes?
That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Well,
or at, you can say as you go or when you go, preach, saying, and haughty, that the Lord. Sometimes the haughty can almost be the same as a quotation mark, quote, but say that the Lord is saving or saves those who believe on him.
With that first poor arrow. Could that be having gone?
Well, it's possible. It's not really too good because you have the legontes, present participle. Kerusha is the for Kerusha, which is the present tense, you see. So it wouldn't be like having a prayer home, and I would be the present tense also, see. So, you know, you can put any tense, but you got to justify it with the context, see. And since you don't have any past tenses, you almost have to say in that case, as you are going, see, as you are proceeding.
Okay.
But
putting the having in first makes it
past. It throws it in the past. It's all right. I wouldn't take too much off on it if you've got the having done in there. But, I mean, I just you asked me specifically, is it best, you see? I don't think it's optimum. Maybe take a...
I'll put a little question mark.
Question mark.
I won't take any off.
See what I mean? In other words, is as you're going, preach, saying that the Lord saves those who believe. See, that's it. As you go. So almost a contemporaneous
having,
time. Yeah.
Having is makes
it be the past. Be the
heirs. That's just my...
Yeah, that's a slight defect, but it's
nothing to
write home about. Any questions further on three? All right, let's go with four. I think there's time to read four and five in Greek. We haven't read the last couple of weeks in Greek.
Tauta.
Kracho.
Amen.
Human.
Human, yeah. Human.
Peri.
Ton.
May.
Dechomenon.
Amen.
Okay, dechomenon, amen. What's that say?
These things
I write
to
you
concerning
the
or so that you so that you not
so not receive the concerning
those see concerning ton dechomenon, amen. Concerning those, what?
Who are not receiving me?
Right, concerning those who are not receiving me, that's right. Who are not accepting me, not receiving me.
These things I am writing to you concerning those, but those people who are not receiving me, the ones who are not receiving me.
Now that tone is in genitive, relative, isn't it?
It's after Puri.
But just after Puri.
But yeah, see, after the ones not
that's
receiving.
Why I tried to make it up there on account of.
Well, can it just Puri translate
try to make it. Yeah, it does, according to your cheese thing or whatever. Not the cheese
not the
one,
cheese,
but the other one.
The other one.
For reading generative about or concerning. Mm-hmm. Not kind of.
Is it in the genitive period?
Yeah. So that would be about or concerning.
Mm-hmm.
Right here.
Here it is. On account of, see? Genitive.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's legitimate.
All right, if it says so on the chart.
Charts never lie.
Yeah.
A liar's chart.
Yeah, that's true. All right, you got that?
All right.
All right, let's read 5 in Greek also.
Elphone.
Elphone.
Moon.
Ha.
Jesus.
Heyren.
Heyren. Heyren.
Alton.
All right, what's that say?
That's gone. Having gone.
Having gone. Un.
Not.
No, that's therefore.
Oh.
Uk is not, but this is therefore. Therefore, having gone, or then having gone.
Jesus
found
him.
All right, after he went, Jesus found him, or having gone, Jesus found him, something like that. Any questions on 5?
Having not gone, Jesus. I said not.
Yeah, for un, yeah. That's a similar un, but that is yeah, un. U is un.
I fell into that too.
Is that right?
I mean, translating now I did anyway.
Oh.
Very similar. All right, any questions on that? All right, let's go then to the English to Greek, page 105. Uk and uch, that's right. Uk and uch, that's right.
It's also, it's not in our vocabulary.
Un is not?
No.
I had to look it up on my own.
Oh, it's not in our vocabulary?
I wonder I missed it.
It's hard to believe.
There's a lot of words that aren't in that glossary.
Oh, that's terrible. I never give it a thought. But we learned it. Have we learned it in our vocabulary, though?
Yeah. But they don't give it to you.
No, that's too bad.
Struggle.
That is too bad.
What does it mean again?
Therefore or then. Then or therefore. Un. So, inferential. All right, let's go with the English to Greek. He rejoices, saying that he saw the Spirit coming upon him. He rejoices would be chairo.
Right. So
he rejoices.
Chaire.
Chaire. No, he rejoices.
No, he rejoices.
Chaire. Chaire is right. Okay. I'm just looking in the past. The F, that is A. Chaire, all right. He rejoices. Chaire.
Legon.
Yes. Legon. Legon. Legon.
Legon. He rejoices. He sang. See, Legon. He sang. Legon, wouldn't he?
Right.
So now it is. He.
Right.
Legon. Right, saying
okay.
That he saw, Hati.
Hmm?
That he saw.
That
C is. He sees Horao, Epsom Aedon. So this
no.
Is the. Blepo, that he saw. Eblepo.
Well, we have another word for saw.
Horao would be Aedon.
Aedon. And.
Aedon. So this would be that he saw would be Aedon.
Aedon.
Right.
If
you have blep, will be eblepon. Eblepon.
You'd have to use an air. Isn't that air? That's not a.
I don't know whether that's an air. It's eblepon. You can construct it if you wish. See, I think eblepon has blepsa.
It's blepsa. You got to put a
eblepsa
sign.
Yeah, eblepsa. See. I've seen it. See, it's got 30 years. Yeah, I think.
That'd be for a few.
That's true, but the thing about what he's saying is this particular verb has a first aorist instead of a second aorist.
This is a first. Blepo has a first aorist.
Yeah.
What's a first aorist?
We haven't studied that yet. See, but the first aorist.
You're an advanced student. You can't do that.
First aorist is a sigmatic aorist, Steve. Elusa, elusas, eluset. See, sa, sa, se. Samen, sate, san. That ending. The first, second areas we're studying is on S, I just like the imperfect. But this has got the, so blepo would be bleplesa. Eblepsa, eblepsas, eblepsa, eblepsa. But you didn't know about it. Anyhow, we'll go ahead with it. You've conceived a form that is legitimately conceivable.
It looks right, but it's wrong.
It's legitimately conceivable, but it's not in reality.
Well,
but we could, just put a little question mark on that.
Okay, we'll put a question mark on
it. I wouldn't.
You put it in the imperfect.
No, oh,
Eblepeh
is imperfect.
No.
What is it then?
I guess it is.
In that case, it would be the same form. See, if you had a different root, see, remember, errors have got to change that root. They've got to shorten the root up or something. See, balo, and take the lambda off and just make it a single lambda or something. See, lam balo, they've got to put lab. You've manufactured something that...
I still get the imperfect confused with the Hebrew, and I sometimes think of the imperfect as the future.
Like
it is in Hebrew.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so saying that he saw... Ra would be Eda, would be Ede, the spirit. The top pnama is a singular. So this would be Ta pnama, the spirit, singular, same form as nominative, coming upon him.
Coming.
Says neuter. And pnama is accusative, so Erchomai is the participle, coming. Erchomenon, right? Erchomenon, upon coming.
Anton.
Epi.
Epi.
Anton.
Auton.
It takes the.
Epi takes the. Accusative. Epi auton. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Well,
there?
Let me see. Yeah, right, that's right.
Chaire, legon, hati, he saw, aid.
Of course, I put it in the locative.
Yeah,
I guess.
You
I don't know if the spirit.
On or at.
Yeah, I wasn't certain.
On him.
He
well,
saw the spirit
true,
coming upon him. So they didn't capitalize spirit, so I assume it wasn't the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, but if it's coming on him,
you can put the locket. Auto, yeah, we don't expect you to know all those details. And, okay, so that's fine.
All right.
Any questions further on one? All right, number two. We saw him while he was teaching in the temple. Saw again is Horao and it's Adon.
So
we saw.
Back to a blip on again.
Adon, Adomen, the Adomen, right?
Yeah.
Adomen, we saw him, accusative of Autos.
Mm-hmm.
You forgot the him.
Oh.
Accusative of Autos.
Auton.
We saw him.
No, we don't have
no, see, that's the participle. Just throw in a participle. You've got
so
the participle.
We saw him teaching.
Didasko
is the participle. And this, we saw him as he was teaching. It would be the accusative because it modifies him, see.
Right.
We saw him, the Daskon.
Gone top.
The Yeah, but you'd have to have it, the Daskon ton, wouldn't you? The Daskon ton?
No.
No,
it's what do you call it?
It's not neuter.
Oh,
it's
wait a minute, yes, I meant. Let's see. Well,
the Daskon top. Yeah, the Daskon top. You're right.
Luanton,
Luanton. Yeah, I was thinking of you putting in the neuter, but you're right. The Daskon top. Yeah, you're right. Didaskanta, we saw him, Didaskanta, in the temple.
Ento Hiero.
Okay, any question on that?
So what is it, Didaskanta?
Didaskanta.
Okay.
Any question on two? All right, three. The Lord said to those who were coming to him that God hears those believing on him. The Lord said,
Al-Kurios, got that.
Said from Lego, and it would be Apon is the form. So the Lord said, it would
be
Ape. Right? Al-Kurios Ape to the ones coming.
So that would
be direct, to be plural, accusative plural. He said, no, wait a minute, to the ones. That would
be
locative.
Locative
plural.
Mm-hmm.
Erchomenos.
Right.
Twice Erchomenos, the ones who were coming to him, right? He said to those twice Erchomenos, right?
Well, I put the cross in there.
To those, well, you wouldn't need it, but we're not going to be too quick. Who were coming to him, cross Erchomenos, to him, auto, right? Erchomenos, auto. That God hears those believing in him. That God hears, Hati God, Hotheos, hears from Akuo, hears Akue, the ones believing. This would be the hear of. You have to put a genitive on that because you hear of something. Remember, that's one of those verbs. So hearing those believing. So pisteuon ton. Pisteuon ton, but you have to have the genitive, remember? It's on of him who were hearing or believing. We're hearing. After hearing, you have to have hearing of those believing. Yeah.
So it would be
pisteuon ton. But if you have the other, that's all right. You have the other. It shouldn't be the genitive because you hear of something. See?
Okay.
But you have the regular. We're going along
with it.
On him. Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. I wouldn't go so
right.
I wouldn't go forever. On him be en auto.
It really would be the genitive.
Yeah, it really would be. Hear of something. But, you know, you're not expected to know all these details yet.
Let me see. L form.
By the way, does Sumner have the English to Greek too?
Yeah.
He does?
Mm-hmm. What he does is that's different than here. He mixes everything. There's no certain. One thing I found in here is that if we learn a new case, he usually sticks to it.
Yeah, to help you to practice.
Sumner doesn't.
Is that right?
No, you get the whole. You get everything thrown in. Each lesson is compounded.
It's like Lambden was
good. It makes it tough.
Yeah, I see.
It really is tough. I went back and take a look at it, and I even, translate.
Well, of course, he may have a different order of proceedings.
Maybe
you haven't covered that.
I didn't learn the second errors. In the first semester, I didn't learn second errors, but I learned first errors.
Oh.
And we had to learn how to shrink those flepold, the rules.
You mean there's a rule for shrinking them? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a rule for shrinking.
Flepsol, you mean epilepsol?
Right.
And
some of those rules.
Yeah. Of course, see, we'll get those in time, but he just lays the book out of different orders.
He knows it differently, right.
All right, four. When he saw the child, he went away.
Wait a minute, I didn't get the L. Steve uses L.
And I'll
phone for coming, and that's coming is in the present, isn't it?
We're coming.
He said to those who were coming to him.
Oh.
So what I did was the Lord said to those having come to him, I guess.
Instead of Erchomenos,
Erchomenos. That does change a little bit, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Erchomenos.
In other words, are they coming or are they already there?
See, if you're going to use the action, you probably the present would convey it more than those who were coming.
So I'm using the aorist, which is having come.
Yeah. But I wouldn't mark it off. I would go ahead with it. Any other questions on three?
Question mark.
Any other questions on three?
I like this question mark idea.
All right, number four. Number four, when he saw the child, he went away. In other words, this is having seen the child.
This is
the verb to see. Well, it would be Adon, see.
Okay, so it would be...
Idon would be your participle. Idon.
So it would be Adon.
Idon. After he saw the child. Idon. Is it ta? Is it ta?
Technon. Home to each and every one of us, and that we would more diligently continue to study hard and apply ourselves. And dear Father, help us in our Christian life, Lord, to live a clear, mature, perfect testimony, Lord, complaint when we might be blameless, dear Lord, in our work, for the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, keep up the good work, man.